If you love CFL football, and I know you do, you've come to the right place tonight because we have our CFL insider, Glenn Suter, joining us just after 7:30 tonight. In a minute, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson, for Tom's House of Pizza. But let's set the table for the coach, because let's take you back to Saturday night at McMahon Stadium. Wasn't looking real solid for this football club through three quarters of play. However, what a fourth quarter. What a comeback. 23 points in that fourth quarter. There was the beautiful onside kick, and then 15 points scored in the final 2 minutes.
Mitchell is back, pumps one, sets up, throwing deep downfield, looking for Rogers, catch at the 10, at the 5, tumbles to the end zone, touchdown! Stampeders, 42 yards. Calls his own number, plows ahead, he's in the end zone, broke the plane, but there's a flag in the air. A touchdown is signaled, but a flag is in the air. Buckle is back, looking in the end zone, throwing in the end zone, reach up, pull it in, touchdown!
Eric Rogers was a man on a mission. Five times he was in the end zone. Three touchdown catches, two extra point convert catches. And wow, what can you say about Nick Arbuckle? 9 for 9, replacing Bo Levi Mitchell. And even though Bo Levi Mitchell got this team into the fourth quarter, a lot of people are talking about the Stamps' number two quarterback. Well, we got to talk about that right now on Sports Talk with Jock, because we get to check in with head coach Dave Dickinson. Well, Coach, I don't know if it was real fun for you during that football game. At least the last couple of minutes were fun, wasn't it?
It was fun. I mean, you know what was cool is I had a lot of people, fans, come up to me and, said that sometimes we've been so good at home, the games aren't as entertaining and as fun, and the emotions don't run as high. And they really said they enjoyed that game, one of the best games they've ever been to, so... It is that way because we won, but yeah, it was certainly stressful.
Yeah, there's no other way to put it, because that's not how you draw it up in the playbook, with your game planning, but I'm sure you'll take the W.
It is, and we're fighting hard. You know, football's cruel. I really believe we should have won the first game, and in all reality, kind of got lucky in this one. So, that's what it is. That's why I guess we all love the game, is because especially the CFL game game is never over. We just kept fighting, kept clawing, and just found a way to win.
So much to talk about, Coach, but this is your show. And I've been promoting all afternoon that you're going to be on the show tonight, and we know Bo Levi Mitchell had his MRI at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So you may as well break it now, Coach. What's the latest?
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk with Bo on the plan or anything like that. I mean, we know there's something there. It's just, what is it? And, I don't know exactly when the doctors will read it. I'm sure the preliminary reports have been looked at. But we're having a meeting tomorrow morning, so unfortunately, Jock, I can't give you a lot of love on that. But we know there's something there, and we ultimately we're prepared for the worst, but we're hoping for the best.
Yeah. I'll be stunned. I'll say this personally, that if Bo plays this weekend, I don't see it, Coach. You know, he looked like he was in too much discomfort, when he came out of that game.
Well, I mean, he has played through many of these sore shoulders, sore deals. I mean, if it's truly like something super serious, obviously you don't play through those type of things. That's his moneymaker. So we'll see. I'm not going to jump. He's done it in the past, and we'd love to have him. But also, we got to remember it is a long year. And, Nick did a nice job, so we would go in with the same expectations, knowing it's going to be a big-time challenge. They're hot right now. They're playing with their backup quarterback as well. So go in there and try to steal one.
You had your share of injuries. Did you ever have anything similar? Because Bo says it's not his shoulder. It's more the pec muscle.
Okay. That's why we should probably ask him on that.
I don't know.
I didn't ever tear a pec or anything like that. I usually limited myself to ligament damage and tendon damage. So I guess you need muscle to pull muscle, right? So I never pulled any muscle.
I'll leave it at that. Nick Arbuckle, of course, he's getting a lot of love right now. That's the job of a backup quarterback. It's different, though, for a quarterback if he comes in as the starter, because it's a total different routine, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this is what, Nick is a football crazy guy. He loves the game. He loves to talk the game. He loves to compete. He wants to be the best. I mean, and, he's on a team that has the best. And ultimately, I thought he handled himself great. No one is happy sitting on the sideline. If you are, you're on the wrong team.
Right.
But you also have to be a good teammate. And I always felt like he's embraced his role, but he was ready. And you know what? He was put in a bad, bad spot. He totally responded. So, yeah, it's a different mindset, but I don't think it's going to be anything foreign to him. It's certainly on the road in Sass, one of the toughest places to play against a defense. Defense is really rolling right now, but whoever the quarterback is will have to play well for us to get the win.
Worst case scenario, Bo doesn't go this weekend. He's not in the lineup. You don't have to dress three quarterbacks, but what is the contingency plan if Bo can't go?
Well, I'm not there yet because I got to see what the injury is. I mean, listen, if it's one game or, no game, I'm not bringing anyone in. You need to have actually evidence before you make a decision. We've talked over some options, but until I actually have evidence, I'm not going to go there.
Okay. Fair enough. The onside kick. That was one of the highlights. Perfectly executed by Mark Killam's team. Obviously, it was a perfect kick. And we got asked the question on the post-game show. A caller said, boy, it looked a little bit deep. I didn't think it was going to work. But that obviously was planned because you knew the kind of speed that a guy like Michael Klukas had.
Well, we weren't planning on having it in that 17-yard range. We were into the wind. My only big-time coaching advice was, make sure the ball lands inbound. I can't stand onside kicks that land out of bounds. You don't even give your team a chance. But normally, if you're deeper than 15 yards, you don't have a chance. But what happened was it got up in the air, and the wind kind of held it there for just a bit longer, and Mike just committed to it. So, yes, it was a little deep. We'd like it, in different areas on that, but it had the good hang time. And honestly, Mike just was fearless. He just ran, made that play. People don't talk about Eric got on the ball. Mm-hmm. Eric just found the ball in the big plays, and certainly that was huge for us.
Well, without a doubt. The recovery there, five times in the end zone, you just don't see that happen very often when a guy gets into the end zone five times.
No, when he's on or he finds his groove, I believe he's right there with any of the other dominating receivers in our league. He's just so tough to cover. He's running better this year. He's got those strong hands. He's smart. I don't think people talk about that for him. He has these assignments out every single week. We put a lot on his plate. And, obviously Nick has some of that same trust that Bo has with him and found him. So, he played great. And he's physical. So, he's one of those guys that you don't find very often.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the other real turning point in this game probably came at the end of the first half. Because that stand by the defense, third and goal, and, whether it's Corey Greenwood or Royce Michi making that tackle, how important was that heading into the dressing room just with that positive message?
Well, it was almost, it felt good, but we were still down by 12, but down by 19, you're really scratching your head. And we didn't stop them basically all game. They didn't get a lot of big plays on us either, but they were able to find their rhythm, and offensively they played quite well. Like you said, I was one of those games where you were thinking a mistake might get you back in the game. They never made it. I mean, they went for a third, didn't get it, but we didn't get the turnover we were looking for. And, that's why it was just basically we needed that onside kick to kind of switch the possession chart. But it was huge, and it doesn't happen that often, but I think as happened to us the week before, third and a yard isn't the easiest thing to get anymore in today's world because there's some big, strong men on the other side, and that was a great stop for us.
How concerned are you, Coach, that you haven't been able to establish the run in yet this season?
I mean, I'm concerned. I thought it was a good day for the offense, to be honest. We didn't have the ball much. you know, when you finish a game with 22 minutes, but you have 64 plays, you're pretty darn happy with that. I mean, I do want balance, but I'm not going to force it. I mean, teams, if they want to try to stop the run and step up their linebackers and put people in the box, we've got weapons to throw the ball, and we're just not going to force feed it. You know, it's nice to be able to have the lead and grind it out with a run game, but I do think ultimately you got to go with what's working, and right now the pass game's working.
Without a doubt. I know the texts are already rolling in, Coach, so I may as well just go down the injury list with you here quickly, because one caller said, I saw your number one pick, Hergie Mayala, go down in the warm-up, and so he's out with a foot injury. You got Brandon Smith with a hamstring injury. Juwan Breskison on the concussion protocol, and obviously the worst injury of the bunch, since we don't know what's really happening with Bo at this point. Ivan McClellan, another defensive lineman, goes down, and obviously not good for Ivan.
Now, Ivan's the one that I'm really, you know, it kind of breaks your heart, to be honest. I love his attitude. He was playing his old team. It was his birthday. You know, he took a penalty that he wants back on the pick six for us. He was a little high, and he got Riles in the face. But he's an all-in, fully committed athlete that was enjoying finally getting on the field. We were enjoying what he was doing, not only on defense but special teams. But his knee just basically, just crumbled. And then on the same play, he broke his hand. So it was just one of those deals where you just feel for him. And we're not expecting him back. You know, I do always say I never want to limit these guys, because some guys are just can heal faster, but it was a gruesome injury, and once again to our defensive line. So we're scrambling. We made a trade with Winnipeg to try to get a guy off their PR. I'm not a guy that people know, but we've been watching and had a relationship with his college coaches, so we knew about him and felt like you know, he's got a chance even to play this week. We'll see. But assigned Azeem Victor as well, a guy out of Washington, played for the Raiders. So we're working on it. We're just really fighting at the defensive line position right now.
So you're telling me that he broke his hand and wrecked his knee on the same play?
Well, I don't know about on that same play, but okay. He was playing with a broken hand. Oh. I think it was, to be honest, because when he went down, he tried to brace himself because he knew he had no legs, and he caught himself in the wrong position. And yeah, like you said, on his birthday, very, very cruel sport at times. I know the guy will work his tail off to get back, but yeah, that was a big loss.
Well, he was celebrating a birthday with the one and only George Hopkins, because Hoppy was celebrating a birthday on Saturday too. And, you know, a guy that's been with the organization for 48 years, that's a gamer.
Yeah, Gio turned 60. Nobody really jumped to it. I knew about it. I don't know. I feel like I got to respect my elders, though, and I didn't want to throw it out there if he didn't want to have it out there. But pretty crazy that he's 60 and he's worked with us for 48 years. I mean, there's got to be child labor laws or something.
Dave, we got to take a quick time out here. He's the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, joins us after every single game this season. And, of course, this is your time to talk to the coach. So if you have a question for the coach, you know the number. Easy to call, easy to text, 403-974-8255. More with Coach Dickinson for Tom's House of Pizza when we return on Sports Talk with Jock.
This is Cooper's Corner. I'm Cooper Dickinson, and we're talking about a play from the BC Lions game.
I had to play that, Coach, because your son is now a media star, and I just had a text coming in, and this is from Garrett, and Garrett says, I just watched Cooper Dickinson's playbook on the Stamps website. Any chance Cooper will be calling plays in the sidelines in the distant future?
No, not much of a chance on that. I hold on to that pretty tight, but I haven't seen that yet. So I love hearing his voice, though, and you know he likes the game. And they asked if he would do something like that, so I'll push him. I'll make sure he does a good job.
Maybe I'll play a little more for you.
We're down by 12 in the fourth quarter, and it's second and five play.
Jackson in the backfield.
Oh, see, he's good. He breaks down the tape. You do that with him at home? You break down tape with him?
We break down his tape. He plays for the Wildcats.
Okay.
We watch and we talk over some ball. I like you said, I probably overdo it, but I wanted him to. I wasn't there when he did that, but I wanted him to say some things like, I taught my dad everything he knows. So, but he's a pretty straight-laced kid that likes to basically just likes sports, likes to compete, not necessarily looking for the spotlight. So he's stepping out of his norm on this one.
That's all good. I love it. It's on the Stampeder website right now if you want to check out young Cooper. I just got a call from, or at least a text from Bruce, and Bruce says, how often do you guys practice the onside kick?
Well, we do every week. We have situational football. Now, our kickers do it quite often, almost every day. We have Renee and Rob practice it, so we kind of decide who we think's got the flow, because Rob's pretty good with those touch kicks as well. And Renee obviously has been doing it, but as far as the live action, it's more almost like you can't really simulate that collisions. You can't simulate that there's going to be the nerves. You can't simulate the basically the reaction of the other team. You just got to kind of, because you can't hit. So you kind of just got to feel it. And, you know, we're doing pretty good. I give Mark credit, Killam. He designs it. But a lot of it is just the players committing to going after it and hopefully getting it done.
I think this is Frank. Frank on the text line says, I see you signed Colton Hunchek back again. You know, he was here in training camp, actually had a very good game in the preseason. Is that because you're a little concerned about Maiala?
Yeah, and Bresk. I think both of those guys, it's going to be, you know, Colton was close anyway. He's a local kid. He will get more fans now with Colton on the team, because I definitely know there's some Calgary people that come to the games just to see him. And we are a little bit, yeah, it's funny. We feel like we have good depth, but we've been getting tested big time. And when you get hit at one position with two players and D-line's been three, you just don't have backups. You don't have that many people. So he's had a good week. Good chance he'll be up on the lineup this week. See what he can do.
Okay. You've already talked about the trade with the Bombers, but since I mentioned Colton, you also signed a DB today, Abdou Konta. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Abdou Konta, yeah. We looked at him a few years ago. Right now, we don't have any special teams bodies on our practice roster, and we're kind of leaning towards that. We did draft Nick Stats, and we thought about, you know, maybe bringing Nick back, but we also want to be fair. You know, he's got as soon as he gets on our active roster, he wouldn't be able to play for the Dinos this year. So we think Abu's a good player who's has got good special teams film. He's a DB. You know, we felt like he did pretty well with Winnipeg. Now we got to see how he fits in with us.
Well, you out-coached Devon, and now you got to out-coach your bro. I think that's no problem, right?
Yeah, I don't know about out-coach Devon either. You know, it's funny. We're getting to know a lot of the coaches in this league. A lot of them kind of like the same generation that I grew up with, you know. And, you know, I felt pressure at 0-1, and I knew Devon and Craig both have to feel extra pressure at 0-2. And obviously, Devon had us on the ropes. We were able to win. But, you know, I definitely think my brother, obviously, it looked like he's pretty happy after that game. But it's just on to the next week. And, you know, any win you can steal early is going to pay dividends in the back end. You want to keep yourself in the mix and hopefully gel, and that's what we'll both try to do.
Just got another text here. It says, saw a picture of a guy at practice with a question mark on his jersey today. Who was that?
That's Maver.
Oh, is that Maver?
Black quarterback jersey.
He's
lobbying to be potentially jump in at the quarterback position, but I thought it was more of a joker jersey, you know, like he's just being a joker, so I don't want to play those guys.
It's all good. You know, just in closing, I know you couldn't give us any love on Bo Levi Mitchell, so just the update. He had the MRI today. You're going to, you know, break down the results tomorrow and then obviously come up with a decision in the morning.
Yeah, I know Huff and I are going to talk, see what was read and what we want to do, and let Bo have some input on it too. But without really knowing what's going on that, it's a little early. But you know, we're gonna do what's best for the team and Bo. We're definitely thinking the long term, but we'd love to have him out there. He's just seems to be like you say, he always plays well on Regina too, which is one of the things we'd like to do.
Did you call your brother last night or send him a text after he won?
Sent him a text in the morning because it was pretty late game.
It was. Ugly weather, right?
Saw wow. The end of it. Yeah, it was. You know, for us, they're playing us on a five-day week. So, you know, we might have the more injuries, but certainly we're going to hope to use that energy for our advantage and see if we can get after him.
Coach, always appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend in Regina, and we'll do it again next week.
That's the plan. Thank you.
All right. Dave Dickinson joins us after every single game of the season here on Sports Talk with Jock.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.